Balls, strikes, and lockouts come to pro baseball. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. At the stroke of midnight, Major League Baseball started locking out players from club facilities after players and team owners failed to reach a deal on a contract. It's been 25 years since the last work stoppage in the major leagues. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, David, the players and their teams basically can have no direct contact with each other now, no use of team facilities, no free agent signings. But it's the offseason right now, of course, so it's a quiet time for the sport, and team owners say they hope the lockout will jumpstart negotiations. The question is whether they'll get to a deal before spring training starts in 11 weeks. If they can't, that could potentially delay the start of baseball season. Now, I'm old enough to remember the last time the two sides couldn't reach a contract. It disrupted two seasons and led to the first ever cancellation of the World Series. That was, as you mentioned, 25 years ago, 1994 and 1995.
Yeah, I was a full adult at that point. So what is it, Nova? Pay?
Yeah, the issue is pay, number one. It's the big one, which may surprise some people. In fact, yesterday as the clock was ticking down, there was a scramble and teams committed in one day to a record $1.4 billion in salaries. But David, that was just for 27 players. The majority of the players make far less, still six-figure salaries, which would be the envy of many people, but not those eye-popping numbers. And the players are complaining about how pay and career advancement is structured within the league. They say the league is underpaying many younger players and then casting them aside when they get older. Now, the league says it's addressed these concerns during negotiations, but clearly it wasn't enough to avoid a lockout.
All right, Nova, thank you. In other labor news today, workers and management at Kellogg, you know, the cereal company, have reached a deal on a contract nearly 2 months into a strike. It's a tentative deal that has to be voted on by members and provides for increases in pay and benefits and provides a framework for getting more compensation to temporary workers. Let's do the numbers. The key stock index, the FTSE in London, is down 0.8%, but here stock index futures are up. The S&P future up 0.6%, the NASDAQ future up 0.3%, the Dow future is up 270 points, 0.8%. The 10-year interest rate, the yield on the 10-year note, 1.44% now. Yesterday we mentioned that amid uncertainty about the Omicron variant of coronavirus, Japan had told airlines to stop booking new tickets on all inbound flights through the end of December. Now Japan has retracted that policy amid criticism there that it was an overreaction and because it would strand many of its citizens abroad. Apparently, you saw the word of the year has been deemed to be vaccine. Now, I would propose instead the word quit, as in hand in your notice at work. Our ongoing coverage of the great workforce exodus during the pandemic is called Quittin' Time, Reimagining Work. Today, let us meet Michael Cochran in Pittsburgh. His was a two-earner family, but in early pandemic, he quit his job teaching middle school to help his own kids. I wanted to know how you pull this off. Mr. Cochran, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David.
What's the math of a decision like that? How could you pull it off? I mean, are you like a trust fund baby or something and had $2.5 million in the bank?
No, we do have some savings for sure. We are not trust fund babies at all, though. But we had a, 9, 7, 5, and 3-year-old. So it was not really possible for us not to have a parent at home. It just didn't seem like it was going to be possible. My wife was set for a sabbatical at the same time. She only took half her sabbatical and she went back to work early as a way to kind of help us out.
I see. I mean, but, you know, you still have to feed these mouths and, you know, there are other bills to pay. Will the savings, it probably won't last forever.
Well, right before the pandemic started, we had had a house in Washington State that we had kept for a while because we couldn't sell it when we moved to Pittsburgh. And we were able to sell that like a week before the shutdown. So we had some savings there. We ended up buying, which isn't what you would expect, but we ended up buying a house in August of 2020. And that actually cut our housing costs significantly. Both of us are relatively thrifty and we kind of just made it work.
How does it feel to you to do it this way? I mean, look, I love my kids. I'm sure you love your kids. It's a lot of kid time.
It is a lot of kid time. It's not the best fit for me. My wife would probably do a better job of it, but she has much more earning potential than I do. She has a PhD. She's a college professor. She has a lot more experience in her field. And so we've just had to make it work. It's a lot of kid time, but overall, with the benefits of being able to have more family time, it's much more possible than I probably would have thought it would have been 2 years ago.
So the children now, are they still remote or are they back in school?
They're back in school. Even last year, they were back in school a lot, but it was a question a lot about when we would know. And that's been true this year too. Like in September, my younger son, he's in first grade and his class had a COVID exposure in the class and they had to go to distance learning. And we were given, 3 days notice. So we just don't have that certainty of like being able to plan for when it's going to be or when it's not going to be.
If that calms down in the sense of it becomes much more reliable idea that your kids would be in school, they're dying for workers out there in the economy right now. Think of going back out into the workforce?
We are considering it. My guess is if I go back, I might be looking at a different field. I might not go back to teaching. Not sure. I'm going to be looking at part-time rather than full-time. Something I can do during that block of time when the kids would be at school and we have a little bit more flexibility there.
Michael Cochran, former middle school teacher in Pittsburgh, who quit his job during the pandemic. A lot of kids on hand that need some focus. Mr. Cochran, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
And if you have beefs or praise about your Tesla, the cars, or the stock, check the address. In a government filing now, Tesla has made it official and has moved its headquarters address out of Northern California to Texas, so not the 3,500 block of Deer Creek Road in Palo Alto, California, but the 13,000 block of Harold Green Road in Austin. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.